Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle, coming your way from my house as I typically do on Fridays. Hope you have a good start to your day and you have a nice weekend planned. We're going to try and help you with something good to watch coming up next hour, Film Week, as we have for you every Friday at 11 o'clock. And our critics this week, Amy Nicholson and Angie Hahn, are going to tell us about the new Gloria Steinem biopic, The Glorious. It's directed by Julie Taymor. And in fact, John Horn, KPCC's own, will be interviewing Julie Taymor coming up on Film Week at 11 o'clock right here on KPCC. In addition to a review of The Glorious, we'll also hear about a new documentary, Totally Under Control, which looks at the government's handling of the COVID-19 outbreak. It's almost an instant documentary that actually takes you right up through President Trump's diagnosis of COVID-19. It's that fast turnaround. That's coming up on Film Week at 11 o'clock right here on KPCC. Also, want to thank you for the tremendous response to the voter cram session that we aired on KPCC in our 11 o'clock hour yesterday. I'm so glad that for many listeners, they're finding it helpful as you go through your sample ballot to determine how you want to vote on the 12 California ballot propositions. And if you didn't have a chance to hear the broadcast yesterday, we remind you it's archived under Air Talk at KPCC.org. Just go to yesterday's show and you'll find the full hour, less than an hour. We take you through one by one all of the ballot props with our four expert guests. Speaking of the election, we turn our attention today to a very disturbing case yesterday in which 13 individuals were charged in an alleged domestic terrorism plot to kidnap Michigan Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Also, a number of law enforcement officials and governmental officials were allegedly targeted as a part of this. And this is at the same time that federal law enforcement officials, according to multiple news outlets, are having conversations with local sheriffs and police departments to plan for any possibility of violence related to the election. With us to talk about those conversations and the extent of planning is Associated Press lead Justice Department and federal law enforcement reporter Michael Balsamo. Michael, thank you so much for being with us. First of all, yesterday's terrible story about Governor Whitmer. Are these the sorts of things that law enforcement are talking about, you know, potential targeted attacks?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yes, they absolutely are. I mean, federal law enforcement, the FBI, U.S. Marshals Service, and the Justice Department, as well as kind of state, local law enforcement officials across the country are starting to have these conversations for expanded preparations this year, the possibility of kind of widespread unrest at polling places and in cities across the country. And obviously we've seen, you know, yesterday's case being an example that the FBI, the Justice Department are taking these matters very seriously. They're starting to bring cases and they're starting to reveal some more details in some of these court filings.
Well, and fortunately, it sounds like this plot didn't get close to being carried out. But have federal law enforcement officials talked about the timing of at what point they determine they're going to make arrests, when they get any sense that some sort of act of violence is being contemplated?
Yeah, so generally speaking, in cases like this, the FBI kind of steps in when they believe that it's necessary, when there's a significant threat to life, and when they, or when they've basically proven their case, they're ready to proceed and they believe that they can make charges stick and that they'll see convictions in federal court. Obviously, in the case that we saw yesterday involving Governor Whitmer, some people were charged in federal court and some were charged on the state level. And I think that speaks to kind of this level of coordination that we've seen for a while, but that we're starting to see even more so this year between federal and local officials.
And Michael, share with us some of the, at least as they're able to share with you, some of the specifics about how they're planning to deal with this, not just obviously, you know, following online communication, but what are some of the other ways? Are informants being cultivated, that sort of thing, which, you know, has had a problematic history?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, in this year specifically, the Justice Department is taking a kind of more nuanced approach to some of this. So officials from a number of federal law enforcement agencies will be coordinating on Election Day itself in the FBI PSIOC. So that's basically a global command center at FBI headquarters. You know, Justice Department prosecutors from a number of different divisions, the Civil Rights Division, the National Security Division, and others, will kind of be on hand to monitor incidents and help coordinate federal response in the event that there's violence or, you know, threats to election infrastructure, cyber attacks, things like that. But, you know, leading up to this on Election Day and going forward, federal law enforcement officials are kind of always checking these message boards, trying to figure out, you know, whether or not there are active, credible threats that are happening. Certainly these cases that we've seen pop up, you know, tend to cultivate some leads for law enforcement to understand how broad a threat may be. And we know that federal law enforcement officials have been, you know, looking at whether or not groups or individuals are kind of creating training camps or organizing for, you know, the possibility of unrest.
We're talking with the Associated Press reporter Michael Balsamo, who is the lead AP reporter on the Justice Department and reports on federal law enforcement. If you have questions for him about the kinds of conversations going on between federal and local law enforcement agencies, we're at 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722. You can also comment on the AirTalk page at kpcc.org. You can tweet at AirTalk, or you can post on the AirTalk Facebook page. Michael, one of the things that we see is that fears of violence are being written about on conservative sites who are making claims that Antifa and people aligned with that loose ideology or approach would not accept if President Trump is reelected. We read from a variety of other places that it's militia-type right-wing extremist groups who would not accept President Trump being defeated by Joe Biden. You know, do we have what is the best way, in your view, to go through and sort of fact-check the degree of risk that's posed by various entities?
Yeah, so I mean, the biggest concern here, right, and is that there is a little bit of an unknown, and there's an unknown for law enforcement as well. Right now, we know that the FBI isn't tracking any kind of specific incident, you know, ahead of Election Day. So there's nothing, you know, specific that they're thinking of right now, but they're doing this kind of broad planning, as I think, you know, kind of news organizations across the country are having these conversations as well, trying to understand, you know, what this might look like. And I think, you know, this year for the first time, there's a pretty good possibility that we may not know who won on election night itself, right? News organizations may not call the race on election night because of the number of mail-in ballots and so forth. So, you know, there is this kind of opportunity where we may see a bubbling up of unrest. And I think that's a really big concern for law enforcement, is particularly that period, and whether or not we see, you know, violence from extremist groups or others. You know, the other thing that kind of comes to front of mind for federal law enforcement officials that I've been speaking to is the rising gun sales this year. They are at almost historic numbers, people legally purchasing firearms. So that's a little bit of a concern for law enforcement, just the number of, you know, firearms that are out there right now. And this, you know, the messaging, as you say, that we're seeing from the right and the left.
We're talking with AP reporter Michael Balsamo. Again, if you have questions for him about the measures law enforcement at the federal and local level are undertaking to make sure that the election process is safe on election day itself and throughout the course of the process, which is likely to continue well beyond election day with all the mail-in ballots that will need to be counted and verified. And if the election is at all close, we would anticipate that we're not going to know for some period of time who the next president of the United States is. And that time of uncertainty about the election result, a particular area of concern for law enforcement. We have Facebook, Michael, banning all the groups that they say are part of the QAnon conspiracy theory. Also efforts that Facebook and Twitter has announced to try and make it more difficult to retweet things that are not verified or conspiratorial in nature. Is any of this, to your knowledge at all, done in concert with law enforcement efforts?
I think that these are conversations that, you know, local and federal officials are having with big tech, with tech companies all the time. They're kind of part of these ongoing conversations among a number of different concerns that law enforcement generally has about tech platforms, which include, encryption and some other threats that we've seen with this administration and prior administration and kind of big tech. But we know for sure that the FBI and the Justice Department are tracking potential threats that they are seeing crop up on social media as well. The other kind of end of this is that, you know, while the traditional platforms like Facebook and Twitter are certainly taking measures to do this, we know that there are kind of more private groups where far left and far right extremist groups tend to gather together to share ideas. We know that there tend to be, you know, Telegram and other groups where kind of they're exchanging information. So that is, again, kind of this other concern for law enforcement that, you know, this may drive people to some of these other kind of deeper platforms.
And explain a little bit about Telegram and is that more difficult for law enforcement to be able to monitor?
Yeah, I think it can, and it can be, and it can't be. In some sense, encrypted apps make it a little bit more complicated, and there are certainly private Telegram groups where, you know, we know at least the Proud Boys, the kind of neo-fascist group, tends to communicate there. But obviously, you know, federal law enforcement officials, use informants, and they are constantly monitoring communication in a bunch of different platforms to kind of gather intelligence and understand, you know, what exactly a credible threat is and whether or not, you know, there are kind of active conversations happening to believe that there may be a threat closer to election day.
Michael Balsamo, President Trump had talked about his supporters being watchful at polling locations, keeping their eyes on what's going on there. Has that led to concern law enforcement that there might be people who'd be overzealous in, going to their local polling place?
Absolutely. I mean, that is a concern that has cropped up, among both local election officials and law enforcement. So we know that federal and state law enforcement officials across the country have been holding these tabletop exercises with state and local election officials to go through a number of scenarios that could happen on election day, including kind of the traditional concerns that I think people had post 2016, cyber and infrastructure threats. But, you know, this year they're also looking at the potential that people will show up either armed at the polls or claim that they're part of militia groups, or that, you know, people who are unofficial or self-appointed monitors could cause some chaos or conflict at polling places. So that's certainly something that I think is kind of being propelled to the forefront for election officials, which is not typically their role. But I think that they're starting to kind of train their own folks to understand what a scenario like that would look like so that they're prepared in case that happens.
This is not an open carry state in California, but a number of states are. People can openly carry. And do you know, Michael, whether states are establishing specific rules about open carrying of weapons within a certain area of polling locations or anything like that to deal with potential concerns?
Yeah, so, officials across the country are kind of having the same conversation right now. So there are a number of states, as you say, that are open carry, where people could, openly carry firearms into basically anywhere where you go, which normally would include a polling place. But I think that for the first time, election officials are really considering this and considering whether or not, there need to be kind of more stringent rules and what that would look like. But as of right now, at least not on my radar of, anything specific.
We have a question about militias themselves and whether militia groups are inherently illegal or the crime is only once they conspire to commit a crime against an individual. Is there anything inherently illegal about dubbing oneself a militia?
Yeah, so, I'm a little bit hesitant to kind of dive into the specifics of, what laws in kind of every state say, just because I'm not familiar with, all state laws in every state.
Sure, yeah.
We certainly know that, when you carry a firearm and go with the intention to intimidate people at a polling place or elsewhere, that certainly is a crime in many states and also could be a federal crime. We've also seen from some of the unrest from the, months before, that the Justice Department is kind of taking an aggressive stance on, people who are armed and come across state lines to commit some act of violence. That is obviously a top priority, charging-wise, for the Justice Department and U.S. Attorney's offices. So I do think that, we're going to see some prosecutions likely come out of this, both from local prosecutors and from the federal government.
We're talking with Associated Press reporter Michael Balsamo. He's the lead Justice Department reporter for AP, also federal law enforcement reporter. We're talking with him about the reporting that he's done about federal law enforcement officials, the FBI, meeting with local law enforcement officials or having conversations with them in an effort to prepare for any possible unrest or violence that would occur during the whole election process. Election day, in what it used to be, it's the deadline to vote, but this process will extend almost certainly well beyond November 3rd as the tremendous volume of mail-in votes end up being verified and tabulated by each of the county registrars in each of the states across the country. And so all during this time, it's going to be law enforcement job to assure that the process is safe. Michael Balsamo, so good to have you with us. Before I let you go, just anything you think is particularly important for us to be thinking about as we get closer to Election Day?
Yeah, I think it's important for people to kind of understand that, we may see kind of larger scale peaceful protests as we have seen, for months. And there may be a as we've been talking about, a bubbling up of unrest, but I think it's important to kind of keep in perspective, even in, the unrest that we've seen, that is a small number of protests. Certainly, they were on a larger scale in some cities, Portland especially, but, just generally speaking, I think it's important for kind of people to keep in perspective, comparative to the kind of larger number of protests that the majority have been peaceful.
All right, Michael, thank you so much. Good to talk with you today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Michael Balsamo of the Associated Press. Coming up, Dr. Kimberly Schreiner, one of our tremendous teams of medical experts with the very latest on COVID-19. She's infectious disease specialist at Huntington Hospital in Pasadena. We have much to talk, including a significant outbreak of COVID-19 at a high desert ICE detention center. Institutional settings have been particularly troublesome for COVID-19. We'll talk about what's going on there and some of the concerns about keeping people safe who are in custody. We're at 866-893-KPECC if you have questions for Dr. Schreiner about COVID-19. We'll be back in 1 minute.